Dear friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So it was sometime during 2007. I was a specialist in the Army and stationed at Fort Hood. It was a Friday evening, and I was working late with a couple of my sergeants doing tests on our Paladin, mechanized fighting vehicle. And other than my sergeants, I was the only guy in my section still there. All the other guys, including the guys that I outranked, had gone home for the weekend hours earlier. But there I was, sitting in the driver's hatch of the Paladin, working late, doing the tests. And boy, was I stewing. Why am I the one that's still working late on a Friday night? Why are those new privates, those guys who haven't even been deployed yet, why are they not here at work? This isn't fair. Well, since our childhood, we're all acutely aware to anything that's remotely unfair. How often do parents hear the phrase, "That's not fair"? How often do we ourselves say, "That's not fair"? In Luke 10, Martha was acutely aware of the unfairness of her situation at Jesus' feet. This is unfair. Martha had begun resenting her sister, but instead of going to her about the problem she had with her, instead of politely asking Mary to give her a hand, Martha goes to Jesus. She triangles Jesus into her problem. And so it seems that Martha is at least somewhat upset with Jesus also for letting Mary just sit there while she's running around serving people. It's not fair, Jesus, and you're letting the unfairness continue on. Well, this episode of Martha and Mary is another familiar text from the Gospel of Luke. And as I pointed out last week with the parable of the Good Samaritan, sometimes it can be difficult to preach such familiar texts. And with this familiar one, there's a familiar understanding to it. Martha's service was a good thing, but she was missing out on the more important thing. Mary, however, had chosen the more important thing. Martha is reprimanded while Mary is praised. Therefore, we should all be like Mary. Well, certainly not a wrong interpretation of the text, but perhaps a bit simplistic. For we must see this story in the wider context of Luke chapter 10 and the rest of Luke's gospel. For it's not an accident that Luke nestled this short little episode where he did, following the prior events of Luke 10 and preceding what follows in the rest of the book. For when we look at the wider context of what Luke wrote, it makes Jesus' gentle reprimand of Martha a bit perplexing, and it makes Jesus' commendation of Mary less about her and her actions. For when we look at Martha's service and hospitality in the context of just Luke chapter 10, her actions must be commended. She's living out precisely the kind of actions that Jesus exhorted. And over the last 2 weeks, we've heard our Lord repeatedly commend hospitality. When Jesus sent out the 72 disciples in Luke 10, verses 1 through 12, he instructed them to gratefully accept the hospitality that they received from those who welcomed them. And note that Luke intentionally states that Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. And in the parable of the Good Samaritan, in Luke 10, verses 25 through 37, the Samaritan is commended for his compassionate acts of mercy. Martha is compassionately and mercifully providing for Jesus. Our Lord commends hospitality. God's people serve others. Martha is doing a godly thing. She's putting her faith into action. And after all, she's serving the Lord himself. What a privilege to host, feed, and care for Jesus. Who of us wouldn't want to serve Jesus in such a direct way? And also bear in mind, Martha's actions are precisely how Jesus and his disciples were physically supported in his ministry. Luke 8 states that there were several women who provided for Jesus out of their own means. Jesus and his disciples depended upon the gracious hospitality of such women. Indeed, Martha's service should be commended. And yet, there's something off with Martha's service. And notice the three words used to describe her service: distracted, anxious, and troubled. Again, it must be emphasized that Martha's service was a good thing. But in her service, she's distracted, anxious, and troubled. Her service was eating away at her. And more importantly, by her service, Martha was distracted away from Jesus and his teaching. She's not receiving what Jesus called the good portion. She's more concerned with the portions that she herself had to serve instead of the portion that Jesus intended to serve her. And so while Jesus commands hospitality, while God's people are commanded to serve others, such service must be kept in its proper place. It's a good and godly thing to serve others, for by serving others, we are doing the Lord's work through our vocations. And compassionate action, the third part in our church's guiding statement, is one of the things our congregation is striving for. But service to others is not and never should be the most important thing in the lives of Christians. Service to others is necessary for Christian living, but it isn't the one thing necessary for the Christian life. There's only one thing that is completely and utterly necessary, and that's Jesus himself. So when we look at this text, we must keep the one thing necessary, Jesus, as its central focus. For earlier in Luke 10, when Jesus commended the hospitality of those who received the 72 followers, and when he encouraged the compassion action of the Good Samaritan, such acts of service were not the main point in either of those cases. In the case of the 72, the main point wasn't the welcoming of the messengers, it was the message or word about Jesus. In the case of the Good Samaritan, the main point wasn't that we should all be Good Samaritans to those around us. It's that Christ is the Good Samaritan for us. In both cases, Christ and his saving word are the main point. Acts of service only follow when Christ's gifts of himself and his word are first received. And so it is here in today's text. Jesus and his word, his teaching, are the main point. The focus of this text shouldn't be on Martha or Mary and their actions, but on Jesus. For while Jesus did receive the hospitality of Martha and many others, ultimately, as the Gospels say elsewhere, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Did Jesus rely on the service of others to support his physical needs during his ministry? Certainly. Did Jesus need the service of Martha? No. But did he welcome Martha's service? Yes. But Jesus came first and foremost to serve Martha. Does Jesus desire us to act compassionately toward others? Absolutely. Does Jesus need our merciful actions? No. And more than any acts of service, Jesus desires us to hear his word, to receive him through his word. Jesus gives a good portion of himself to us, and he invites us to sit, like Mary, at his feet to receive his good and life-giving word. And for Mary's posture should also be noted. By sitting at the feet of Jesus, she was taking the position of a disciple, one who listens to Jesus' teaching. Earlier, I mentioned that who of us wouldn't be blessed to be like Martha and serve Jesus directly? But truly, what a blessing it would be to be like Mary and simply sit at the feet of Jesus, our good and gracious Lord, to receive his word and listen to his teaching. For Jesus' teaching really is a critical component to this story. If we zoom out again from this text, in Luke 9:51, it states that Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. That is, that from that point forward, Jesus was intentionally making his way to Jerusalem that he might die upon the cross. And so in Luke's gospel, from that point onward, Jesus ramped up his teaching. From the end of Luke 9 until his arrest, Jesus was constantly teaching people. From Luke 10 through 22, Jesus was teaching, teaching, teaching. He taught about himself, the kingdom of God, how to pray, how people should relate to one another, discipleship, marriage, and on and on and on. He focused his ministry on teaching and preaching the word of God. And Mary, taking the position of a disciple, sat at his feet to listen and receive the teaching of Jesus. And Jesus commended Mary for her actions, for in listening to his word, Mary received the good portion of Christ himself. And so Jesus remains the main point of this text, the one thing necessary. Not Martha's good but misguided service, nor even Mary's listening. Jesus is the main point. He is teaching. He's proclaiming the word of God. And this text focuses on Jesus and his word. And in doing so, the story of Mary and Martha challenges the way that we like to order our lives. For we, like Martha, are so easily distracted away from God's word. And we can get distracted by so many things that, like Martha's hospitality, are in and of themselves good things. While our Lord expects us to portion out service and compassion, the better portion is to be served by our compassionate Lord through his word. The good portion that wasn't taken away from Mary is also given to us. And while the text certainly applies to us as individuals, it also applies to us as a congregation, as a community of disciples. For when it comes to our congregation, it can be easy, like Martha, to get distracted with much serving and become anxious and troubled about many things. We can get distracted with things like service projects, programs for kids, youth, or adults, fellowship activities, food drives, helping those in need, building projects, building maintenance, school activities, voters meetings, staff meetings, council meetings, the music and worship, and on and on and on. These are all very good things. Very good things. But when we get distracted by them, when we get anxious and troubled over them, like Martha did over her service to the Lord, we are missing the good portion that our Lord has given and continues to give to us. Christ is the main thing here at St. John Lutheran Church, and we must all work together to keep Christ and his word as the central focus of all that we do as a congregation. As Jesus' disciples, it is essential that we practice compassionate action. But as Jesus' disciples, it is infinitely more important that we sit at our Lord's feet and hear and receive his word, which is exactly what we are doing today here in worship. Worship is primarily God giving to us. By coming to church, we are by faith simply sitting at the feet of our Lord and receiving the same good portion that Mary received. By attending church, we sit at the feet of Christ to receive his good portion through his word and sacraments. For through his word and sacraments, we receive all that Jesus accomplished for us in his death and resurrection. In worship, Christ pours out the gospel of his death and resurrection into our lives. He abundantly gives us the forgiveness of our sins. He gives us portion after portion of his love for us. He fills us up with his compassion and mercy, thereby enabling us to go out and serve others. The one thing necessary is Christ. And here today, we are once again receiving that one thing necessary, Jesus. By faith, we sit at Jesus' feet and receive his word. But I sincerely long for the day when Christ returns and we will physically get to sit at the nail-scarred feet of our Lord and see him with our own eyes, the one thing that is necessary, and hear with our resurrected ears the good portion of Christ's very word. And furthermore, our acts of service toward one another will continue, but they will have no more distractions or anxiety or troubles, but only joy. Through his death on the cross and his resurrection on Easter, Jesus has given us the good portion that cannot be taken away. And someday, we will get to see and hear and talk. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.